Okay.
Right, where we at? Hold your horses.
Hold your horses.
Hold your horses, son.
Are we recording?
I think I'm going to need a podcast with you during this.
Oh, no, you are, aren't you?
Tea, water, C4.
As soon as you crack
recipe
that
for disaster. Recipe for disaster.
Like, your body's going to trigger.
He walked off the other day in the middle of a podcast. Where did I see him? Oh, the animals. The animals have no etiquette.
Well,
they just walk off and have a wee. That's actually a level up. They normally just wee. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm still there.
Like this bin bag's leaking again.
Yeah. Oh, really?
That's why you always have to take it out. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Outlaw Picks podcast. Today we are talking about what week are we? UFC 267.
Yeah. 267. We'll have a quick look at.
Oh yeah, of course. We can talk about Merlo Costa.
Yeah, Merlo Costa. Nice. Unlikable human being. Anyway, before we get on to how unlikable Paolo is, this week's show is brought to you by NordVPN.
Yes.
NordVPN is a one-click solution for increasing your online security. And also getting around geo-blocking. So, for instance, if you would like to watch the Dan Hardy Breakdown show on BT Sport, for example,
yeah,
and it's being geo-blocked, just as an example, then get NordVPN.
Mm.
And then you can just watch whatever
how
you want.
How much is it for the year?
Well, if you go to nordvpn.com/...
Oh, you were so close.
Going so well.
You were doing so well.
If you go to nordvpn.com/outlawed, you will get a deal that gives you 73% off a two-year plan, 4 months free of charge, and also comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Wow.
So go get it.
Amazing.
And then you can watch the Dan Hardy Breakdown show, Petr Yan versus Corey Sandhagen.
Yeah.
On BT Sport.
It's deep. It's deep.
You gone deep?
I went deep, but not as deep as I went on Usman Covington yesterday.
Oh, really?
I mean, that was like, I gave myself a headache.
Yeah, balls like, deep.
I don't think people realise how fucking
much
like relentlessly obsessive I get about these things.
You can see it in your face. Health. Your face just goes, fucked by the end of like 8 war rooms in and 2 breakdown shows.
I fluctuate like 6 or 8 pounds as well. Yeah. I just kind of
like skeletal.
Go up and down.
We're also brought to you by C4, our good friends and long-term partners. Again, for now, although this will quite likely be changing in the new year, this deal is only for our US viewers. If you go to c4energy.com, use the code FULLREPTILE and you'll get 30% off your order. US only, I'm afraid, for now.
US only. Although you can buy it from the fridge at the gym.
Yeah, just come to Hardy Warhead and we'll charge you full price. But it is available.
Yeah, well, if there's any left. Because Jimmy's washing himself in it right now. Have they announced a new flavour that they're saying they're sending
now,
us?
No, as you just went, oh, I thought, oh, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, but you know, what are they going to do?
I don't know, stop sponsoring us?
Well, yeah, maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe. But apparently, the rumour is, unconfirmed, that there is a Starburst flavour.
Oh no.
God damn, I hope I got that. That's the right sweet. A Starburst flavour C4 coming. I haven't seen it, but apparently it's coming.
The whole gym's going to smell of that. All the boys are going to be drinking it.
There'll be more fights than usual in a fight gym about who gets the C4 Starburst flavour. Anyway, c4energy.com and FULLREPTILE is the code. Thank you very much to our sponsors and please support them.
Thank you.
All good. Wicked. Okay. Fuck Paolo Costa.
You really don't like him, do you?
No, I don't like him. His attitude.
Has Anna said something? Does she? Has Anna complimented him in some way?
She does like balding men.
See, he's got hair and he didn't used to have.
Yeah, why can't you do that?
His hair was getting thinner as the fight was going on.
It was getting thinner as the fight went on. It was weird, wasn't it? It really was. Mate, I don't like him. I don't like his attitude. I don't like how nonchalant he was about the fact that he'd fucked up this whole situation. He was holding everyone to ransom because he was sort of like, now what are you going to do? Pull a fight?
Yeah.
You ain't got a co-main event that's like big enough. What are you going to do? I know we'll do it 2 or 5.
Well, what do you reckon to the rumour that he's trying to get released?
Well, yeah, probably.
Because do you remember that wrestling match that he was having with Logan Paul? Like you could see Nate Diaz and Paolo Costa against the Paul brothers on the same card. Yeah. Can you imagine how much fucking money that would make?
He's got mad steroid bloat as well. You don't need USADA, but get me in. Just walk him in front of me, I'll tell you. He's got mad steroid bloat.
Usual suspects.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Get that two-way mirror. Bring him in. Shirts off.
I tell you what though, bro. That fucking rear leg body kick is...
It's very impressive,
isn't it?
But two things. Tell me where he gets his energy from. Because when he's tired, he still doesn't seem to slow down.
I know.
Like, he looks physiologically like, is that the trade-off, right? Because someone that's built like him, that he's known to have punching power, would exhaust himself and visibly slow down.
But he's full of carbs, he's full of energy, he's done no weight cut, nothing. He's you know, full of red wine. And he's just licking that kick through.
But he's 220 pounds, and he's cracking a guy that used to fight at welterweight.
Yeah.
And he couldn't stop him in 25 minutes.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. That just made me respect Marvin a bit, you know.
I mean, I'm not saying...
Tough, taking them kicks. I mean, you tell me, it looked right. The way he was throwing it, looked right. He's a big dude. It should be doing some damage.
There must be some kind of disconnection in his technical chain for those punches not to be doing more damage.
Yeah,
they even sound like they're fucking landing hard. And I'm not, again, you know, Marvin takes a hell of a shot, of course, but still.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking to myself, I was having this conversation on Twitter the other day. Who would you like to see him fight at 205? The first name that came to my mind is the UFC should re-sign Jimmy Manoa.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
But that's the point of difference.
Someone's
not walking out. But that's the point of difference is Jimmy Manoa always connects with power and stops people with one shot.
Yeah.
If he lands cleanly, it's done.
Maybe he's trying to get released because Dana like came out and said, oh, no, he'll have to fight at this weight now.
Yeah.
And immediately went, if I can make 185, I can't make that.
I'm going 170.
Yeah. 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 Flyweight next. What are you going to do
about
it? Release me.
Call that Gastelum. Call that Gastelum for the BMF belt at welterweight.
Anyway, it ended up being...
It was a fun fight. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it ended up being a fun fight,
He seemed drunk, though, as he was walking out as well.
He just, parade and stuff. He's in some weird shit.
He is into some weird shit.
Probably done some MDMA on the way out or something. He's weird. Yeah. They like him. And I did not like his attitude about this weekend at all. But there you go.
You don't normally feel this strongly about stuff. It's like this. It's like Star Wars and Paolo Costa. The two things you just.
I'm just not into Star Wars. You have a problem with me not being into Star Wars. That's the problem.
I don't. I have a concern that you've got about 8 year gap in your memory where you've got no pop culture references.
Some freaky shit happened in those 8 years. That's all I know.
It's like Owen absorbed your soul and he's got all your pop culture in his head.
Yeah, and it's all coming out at the same time as his is coming out.
We are recording tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah, nice.
We have a new Full Reptile Radio coming up.
Lovely. Couple more from that card.
Go on then.
Jessie Jess. I get it. I see what she did. I understand why she did it. Jocelyn's dangerous. It's not an appealing way to do it, but...
I think you were on the money. I think she beats her right now, but she doesn't beat her again in the future.
Jocelyn's going to be awesome.
And I think Clark knew that, which is why she kind of fought like she did.
She sort of referenced it after. She was like, it was like... I don't know whether DC had trained her or she took inspiration from DC in the wrestling game. And it's like, look, this is the safest, most efficient route to winning a dangerous fight. Like, just Edwards is dangerous, right?
Yeah.
She could easily lose that fight. It's just not as fun. It's just not as fun, is it?
Yeah, no, it's not.
I get
not.
It. It's that athlete, entertainment, athlete, winning, losing, entertaining. Like, that's that paradigm, isn't it? It's just,
Yeah,
I get it. It was a clinical performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But she put on a clinical.
Yeah.
But then that's the next fight didn't really help much either. Like Grant Dawson and Ricky Glenn.
Nah.
Very similar thing. Although this is a point that V raised while we're watching it, that the commentators seem far more on Clark's case for it than they were on Dawson's. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway,
a bit harsh.
Alex Caceres surprised the shit out of me,
didn't they? We both picked. Sungwoo Choi,
I tweeted even as the fight was starting. This guy's a killer. But
that's Alex, though, isn't it? He's like, exactly. Sometimes he's on. If he's on,
how many times
killer.
Has he done that? I've used him as an example, as like, you know, the person that jumps on submissions that aren't there before, and now he's proved me wrong because he's, you know, it's worked.
But all over,
all those
I thought
fighters
he was good.
That I've said that to in the past, they're like, you can't do an Alex Caceres. They're like, what fucking Alex Caceres did? That's how his brother beat Usman as well, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, same kind of situation. Yeah. Jumped on his back, choked him out.
But I thought he was good, not just that sub. I thought he was, you know, I thought he was doing really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching him.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, like, we've said this before, the flamboyant and the unpredictable, it's difficult to be champ when you're like that. There's something about champs that are in some ways consistent. Predictable and consistent yeah. and like steady, and you know, the boat's not rocking, you know what I mean? You know what they're going to get. They're very, very good at it. They're not very good at everything, but they're really, really fucking good at a few things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's almost like once a champion's found that frequency and they've kind of fallen into that, this is the system I defend my belt.
Yeah.
You get the Demetrius Johnson, GSP, Shevchenko kind of system where they...
But that's the champ mindset. And it's like, well, no, I'm champ. You come figure me out.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's stifling for them in some ways in terms of their development, because they're like, look, I've got my game and that's up to you to come and challenge it. Mm-hmm. But my game's probably going to stay relatively similar while I'm the champ.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not figuring puzzles.
If it's not broke, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they get better at that same routine.
Yeah.
They get more money to support that same routine. Yeah. So they, you know.
Best feedback loop in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to see Jai get in that.
Oh, it was.
Win.
It
and looking was. Like dominant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, very dominant.
Yeah, he looked really
I'm just
good.
Happy. I'm just happy for him because I think we agree he's very good. He's torn through Cage Warriors and he's just had a rough start, hasn't he? And I think mm-hmm. now this might boost his confidence. He needs a couple more and, you know. He's good. He's a good fight, man. Jai Herbert's good. He's good.
Yeah, it was good to see Jones get a win as well, but it was a bit
tough. Yeah, tough.
Bit chaotic.
Yeah, tough fight.
Yeah,
that was late though, right?
He does that though.
We didn't talk about that. Was that because it was late?
I don't know why
we
missed
both
that
just
one.
Skip it.
I don't know why we missed that one. It was okay. Yeah. There we go.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
There we go. Figured cool. it out.
We use that shut the fuck up account to respond to whoever talked about that.
Okay. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on. Big one, innit?
My goodness, there's loads to talk
267,
about.
267, what a card. And obviously there's some massive fights up at the top, but there's some less well-known but absolute banger fights down the bottom, isn't there?
Mm.
Who you got first?
Who do I have first? I have Nascimento against Ulanbekov.
Yeah, yeah. Nascimento's out of shootbox, right?
Yes, he is. I saw a couple of clips online. There's not a great deal to be found of his recent fights. And he also fought on the Contender Series and lost to Howley and Piper, but I can't find that anywhere either.
No, because why is that?
I don't fucking
Fight
know.
Pass is a piece of shit, that's all. Yeah. I watched a couple of his like early fights, but he was like babyface at the time. It was years and years ago. It was tough to get a real good read on him.
He seems to be very confident and comfortable on his back and scrambling for ankles.
Right.
And that seems to be the tone when the commentators were talking about him. I watched one of his fights against Will Campiano and he was not in good positions.
Yeah,
he had a big swelling under his eye from an elbow, which his corner team did nothing about in the corner. They just like dabbed a dirty t-shirt on it. They did. It was like right before the fight, the round started, they just kind of went...
Oh, it's like, much better, thanks.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah. Fixed it.
Wicked.
Fucking got Thank adrenaline you. In your saliva. Wonderful. Ulanbekov looked great against Silva. The only thing he struggled with was that calf kick.
Yeah. And he took a few of them though, didn't he?
He did. But kept going. I mean, he's tall, rangy, he's got that kind of always pressing forward, kind of hittable, but doesn't seem to affect him too much style.
Silva's not an easy fight. Like, I know he's lost a few, isn't he? But he's a tough dude.
But he turned it around in his recent one, didn't he? Didn't he pick up a win?
Yeah.
I think he did. I think he lost like three in a row and then... But Ulanbekov was impressive. I think he's only had one fight in the UFC so far.
I mean, that's who I picked. Just looking at them, the way they move and what they look like. He's out of Habib's camp, right? So he's gonna have a base level game that is solid.
For sure.
You're not going to survive in the camp, are you?
I mean, he's got... And I did notice his takedown accuracy is about 45%, but... There were a couple of times in that Bruno Silva fight where I think they may have countered a takedown that I wouldn't really have considered an attempt. Like there was one where he jumped on his back like there was one where he jumped on his back like he was looking for a rear naked choke, and I would imagine that went towards his takedown attempts and failures. It was the stats are a bit kind of all over the place unless someone's got a real good body of work in the UFC.
But again, it's going to be like there just needs to be a criteria that you score against that is accepted by everyone. It's like if I take you down, you're butt touching, you bounce straight back up, you post and you're straight back up. It's not really a takedown, is it?
No. I mean, I think he's going to be able to beat Nascimento up on the feet.
Mm.
And then I think Nascimento is going to be tough enough to be able to take a beating. And then Lambekov's going to get bored and take him down.
Maul him.
And maul him on the floor. And I think Nascimento is going to be trying to get to the floor, trying to pull guard, because he just isn't going to like the pressure that he's under against the Lambekov.
The theme of this card is the maul game. There's loads of people as I was going through the fights so like, oh, he's going to maul him.
Yeah, it's going to be a bloody canvas by the end of the night.
Yeah. It's going to be the technique of this era right now. This card's all about it, isn't it?
Yeah. People getting wrestled against the fence, beaten up.
Yeah. Top hook, leg irons. Misaligned spine, getting your face stoved in. Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. I'm taking the Lambekov. I don't see it going any other way, really.
Yeah.
Unless Nascimento's improved massively since I've seen
it. It's hard to tell without some recent footage.
Yeah. This is a great scrap as well, but I have a feeling it's going to be a decision for sure.
Oh, you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon
to
we're going to
nullify each other a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. The skill of Ismagulov is going to cause Mustafayev problems in every range, but I don't think he puts his foot on the gas quite enough to get anywhere. I mean, the only thing that stands out for Magomedov is that spinning back kick that he landed on Fiziev.
Yeah,
and like you know, he might pull something like that out of the bag.
He's had a couple of nice fights. He has. He had a glorious fight with Brad Riddell, didn't he?
Oh, it was brilliant.
Glorious.
It was brilliant. Yeah, but he was getting his takedowns defended in that fight. Yeah. And he ain't going to be able to take his Magulov down if Brad Riddell could defend those takedowns. Yeah. Like this is a very, very hard stalemate to break for him, I think. Because I think his Magulov...
It's only three rounds as well. Like that went deep, you'd find out a little bit more about conditioning, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Demir throws that step-out chop rear leg kick that you like. It comes down and lands like on the top of his quad, which dents his bone.
But he is a decisionator, though.
I mean, you look at
his last time he stopped somebody was it was an arm injury in the first round in 2018. Yeah. And then before that, we're looking at...
But Mustafayev finished a few people, hasn't he?
But that's like he takes more risks, though. That's where Ismagulov's good because he manages all of the ranges so well.
Yeah.
Good footwork, you know.
I feel like Mustafayev has a bit of a physical advantage. Like he's definitely probably his power output is probably higher.
Mm.
But yeah, Demir is a real nice, conserves, he's just efficient, isn't he? He's very efficient and, yeah, like you say, controls everything.
Yeah. I think Ismagulov's going to do it.
I think Mustafayev's going to.
I mean, if he's going to do it, it'll be a surprise stoppage.
Mm.
He'll catch him with something, it'll be like...
Oh. So you can't see Mustafayev winning. If he goes to a decision, it's probably Ismagulov.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. He's just, I mean, you look at his record, he's so consistent. He's on an 18 fight win streak.
Yeah.
23-1.
He's tough to beat, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no way he's 30 either. Like, he's probably been fighting for 30 years. maybe age doesn't start to count until you've had your first pro fight from
pro rugby. The Fijian passport and pro rugby are like, mate, you are not 30. Come on now. You might have got this passport when you were 30, but you ain't 30. all right, yeah, we'll split there. We'll split on them.
Okay.
Mustafayev and Ismagulov.
Right.
Yazanki, this is quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So he's gone heavyweight, light heavyweight, middleweight.
Yeah.
And rightly so, I think.
Yeah.
Because he was probably not.
He's got a bit of...
Either. He was a bit doughy, weren't he?
He was. I mean, Cyril Askew, in his debut, he was not really much of a heavyweight either. Like, they were both kind of... I mean, they were both just over 100 kilos.
They're just,
thick.
Two middleweights out of shape.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's tough to really sort of make a call on him when he's not, you know, he got mauled by Cyril, didn't he? But that's because he's, you know.
Undersized and underpowered.
Undersized. He had some good wins in the Chinese Super League, but he's dropped a couple, hasn't he? Dropped to Coulter and dropped to Asker.
Yeah. And I think Gilmore is a real powerful upper body. He's a very very disciplined southpaw. Stays on the outside foot, and he's got good wrestling as well.
He raw though, isn't he? He's raw. I reckon he could.
Yeah, but I think Yaozong is as well.
Yeah. The only thing I think about Andre is if he thinks it's going well, he could go in and try and finish it and go off the cliff. He looks like he could go off the cliff, but apparently. It came up in the commentary as I was watching. Apparently, his mechanical fitness is elite. Like he's as good as anyone.
Is that right?
But he does gas in fights, which comes back to the conversation we've had a million times about how you appropriate your energy. It's not, look, in the gym you can build the car, like the car's fit enough to do the job, but if you don't drive it right, it's going to break down. And that's the problem he seems to have had, which comes back to the tactical understanding of the fight game, not burning your energy. One of the differences as you go up through the grades in jiu-jitsu, isn't it? It's like where you rest and where you apply your energy.
Yeah.
Where you apply your strength and where you don't bother applying your strength.
So you're thinking Petroski can try to harden the first round and Yao Zhong's going to hang in there?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Maybe. Mm. Maybe. I got Petroski.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he just looks like he's got a little bit more. And I think if he touches him, he's going to be in a bit of trouble. It looks like he's got a power, doesn't he?
And we also don't know how Yao Zhong's going to look.
How he's made that weight.
Yeah.
Like, is he made that weight because he just got in shape? Or is he made that weight, now I'm going to cut 15, 16 pounds?
Yeah. He'll probably just call for the fight at light heavyweight by the time fight week.
Shame he's not main eventing.
Yeah. I'm going Petroski as well.
I've got him.
Okay.
Another one against Lerone Murphy. Lerone was good last time out, I thought. I think he's on course to do some things.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I've got my stories mixed up or not, but he's not a lifetime martial artist, isn't he? He found this a little bit later.
Yeah. I think he was having some issues, wasn't he? Did he get stabbed or something? Oh, he got shot. That was it. He got shot in the face.
Oh, that'll do it. Yeah. In your face.
Damn. In your face.
Yeah, he's had a good start, man. Ramos, De Andrade, and
they're not easy fights.
Tukhugov, no,
and that's and even to just to get a draw against Tukhugov in your UFC debut as well was,
he's got a lovely bounce. He's a powerful striker. It's a shame he had that fight cancelled with Air Jordan. That would have been a great fight. Cancelled twice, I think. Yeah.
They said it was rescheduled and then visa issues. So that's why it's happening in Middle East.
Let anyone in.
Macwan.
Yeah, best topology picture in the game. 100%. 100%.
That's just a Saturday afternoon for him.
Yeah.
He's not quite
living up to that photo, though. Well, he might be in his private life, but he's not.
I think he is probably in his private life.
He's battling a little bit, isn't he? He's definitely up and down with his results.
She don't look impressed.
No.
One of them might be into it, but she's... Yeah. She looks a bit lost.
That check's gone through, that's why. Yeah. She's seen the money's clear.
Although you'll notice her drink's empty, whereas the other's drinks aren't empty yet.
Yeah, she's impressed because she's thirsty in multiple ways.
The other one's just can't go to the toilet. She's had enough.
He's on a bit of a skid, man. He's fucking wrestling. He's very, very nice, isn't it?
He's very much at the whim of his psychology, I think.
Yeah.
I think he wants to really believe in himself, but he doesn't feel confident in every range. And like he's bounced around gyms as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Like he was at All Stars for a bit, and then he went to SBG Island. I think then he kind of formed his a team around him, and he was doing a lot of boxing. Because I remember when he came in against Edson Barbosa, he was talking about that. He's like, "I've been working my boxing.
I box now.
Yeah, he's a boxer now. Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, like, you always go back to that debut against what's his name, Andy Ugal, where he just went flying through the air. Yeah. Like he's always got that explosiveness. And Massimo Fullan was a good win as well. But then, like, when a fight starts to kind of slip away from him a little bit, he starts to unravel. I mean, Edson Barbosa looked super hot, super sharp in that fight. He was shit hot, like so fast. And I'm not, you can't really take anything away from Macwan. He was tough and he stuck in there. But I felt like his willingness to try and get back into the fight starts to fade. And I don't, Lerone Murphy could be that kind of person. He can hold the center and he can bully him a little bit until he cries.
Yeah,
it's just those erratic fucking scramble at you, dive on an ankle. You know, he was subbing loads of guys in his early career as well. Mm. He was on jumping on necks and stuff, anacondas and heel hooks.
I mean, I got Lerone. I think he's too much for him. But Macwan by nature is unpredictable, isn't he? So he's hard to pick for or against. But I think overall, Lerone probably gets another winner.
Yeah, yeah, I'm picking Lerone.
And he's looking good, man. Looking real good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oleg Shejuk against Gamzatov. I'm a big fan of Mikhail Oleg Shejuk.
Yeah.
Big fan of his. He's the only thing, and I've had this conversation with his manager, he's just not very big for 205.
No. But he's not leaned out either.
No, not
like
at all.
He doesn't have to be that. He just gets ragged around. Any time he fights, hold on, this is down, right?
What?
This is down a weight? No, it's not.
No, he's light heavy.
He's just not as strong. Like Jimmy Crew and OSP just ragged him.
Yeah.
Because he's not the right weight. He just gets ragged around.
Yeah.
Like Jimmy Crew ragged him around, didn't he?
He did. But he did catch Jimmy Crew with a good shot and hurt him, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. Like if you remember that the fight against Jan Vellante and then the one against Antigolov
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Like against Gadzi Mored, he chased him down. I think he dropped him like three times before stopping him on the floor. Like that's one of the reasons why he's not gone down a weight class is because he's quick.
That's his point of difference.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like he hits hard and he moves fast and he is unpredictable in his movement.
His movement's very different to anyone else you really see. Mm. Like it's not like a bounce. It's not like an elastic bounce, is it? It's almost like a I don't know. It's like a
ride. It's like
yeah,
a,
like yeah. a wave. A bit yeah. like a wave, isn't it?
Yeah.
But like he put a tempo on Vellante. He just couldn't vibrate at that vibration, could he?
No.
He
was just and that he was body just, shot just yeah. stole his soul,
yeah.
didn't it? Yeah, I mean, like Jimmy Crew is a you know we know how good Jimmy Crew is, and the point of difference with that one is, you know, he was a more physical fighter. I just
yeah. Oleg he ripped Shijuk, his arm off, didn't he? With
yeah,
a,
yeah, but he wasn't
Kimura. Yeah.
I should have watched that fight. He was hurt though, wasn't he? I do feel like Oleg Shijuk caught him and hurt him.
I don't think
did he not get cut. I feel like he grabbed that Kimura and it kind of saved him.
Nah. No, I don't think so. No, I think I watched it last night. No, he ragged him around, threw him around the octagon, jumped on a Kimura and basically ripped it off.
Oh.
I think so.
Okay, I'm getting it mixed up with something else then. I've just, like, the way that Oleg Shijuk moves, I think he's problematic for guys that are willing to stand and wait. And that's what I saw with Gamzatov against Abreu. Mm. Like, he didn't look terrible in that fight, but he didn't look great either. And I know Abreu's not... He's not a world beater. He actually looks quite small for a light heavyweight as well. Klitson does. And I don't know. I think Oleg Shijuk's going to catch him.
He's going to be a rough night. If Gamzatov gets top position and WrestleFoxing is going to be, it's going to be rough, isn't it?
But then do you think he looks like a light heavyweight as well? I mean, he's 6'2".
Yeah.
So look at the stats, see where they're at.
Some of these boys need to control the calories a little bit.
But do you think it would make much of a difference if he did go down to middleweight?
Well, it's funny what you said is his speed just middleweight speed and everyone is the same speed as him and then he hasn't really got any advantage. He's just, you know.
I mean, well, he's 6 foot with a 74-inch reach, which is kind of my size. Mm. And then Gamzatov 6'2", 76 inches. It's not a massive size difference. But then, you know, you think, okay, well, so say he keeps winning... And then he's going to end up against the likes of Rakic and Anthony Smith, who are going to look massive.
Big motherfuckers, aren't they?
And, you know, they're pretty quick as well. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like Oleg Shijuk's
style. I'm always caught, though, because how many conversations are we having about just fight at the weight, you know, fight at your weight.
True.
Stop trying to kill yourself to make stuff, and then you come across... But maybe, his weight could be lower. It's just his...
If he was lean...
He won't stop eating.
Yeah. I mean, if he walks on the scales at 205, say if he cuts a couple of 3 pounds.
I wonder if he cuts, yeah.
I don't think he cuts much.
Can't.
But if he did cut a little bit, still, like, diet that weight off him, get him down to his optimal size, so he's not carrying, you know, not carrying much body fat, and then...
Yeah, go from there.
I mean, he's probably only going to have to cut sort of 8 or 10 pounds to get to middleweight then.
There's not even water cut to do that. That's just gaining shape. It's just losing some body fat.
Yeah.
I got Mikal.
I
think so.
I thought you'd go the opposite way. I thought you'd
take. The only thing I think. Do you know what? I actually went through. I can't just keep picking the wrestle fuckers the whole way through this card. It's going to be the same for everyone. The only time I thought he's going to struggle is if he does get put on his back. It's going to be, you know, you're playing into his hands a little bit there, aren't you?
Yeah. I just like Oleg Shijuk's style. I like the fact that he's only really interested in knocking people out cold.
That wave, I feel like he must punch hard because of the nature of the way he moves.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? He's using a lot of the energy, kinetic energy, is then rebounding back through, and you know he's going to catch people hard, isn't he?
Yeah, I watched Gamzatov's last fight, and I just thought he's hittable. He's so hittable for Alex Shager, especially that big sweeping shots that he goes across the center line, coming over the top.
And,
Anyway.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
No, agreed.
Benoit Saint-Denis against Eligio Zaleski dos Santos.
I can't find a massive amount on Saint-Denis. He was with Brave, wasn't he? He's got a good record coming over from Brave.
You've got to get on fight.tv.
Right.
That's where his fights are. They're behind a paywall. But it's, I mean, he's good. He's good.
It's good. Coming out of France, isn't he? There's a few... We're just seeing it again now. There's a few people coming out of France, you know.
Yeah, there's a show coming up in a... December, it's got some good fights on it. Wilson Hayes is on it. Aries.
Right.
Some good fights on that. That's in Paris.
Oh, nice. Coming up soon. Because it was... They couldn't put shows on for years, was it?
Until start of last year.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Nice.
So which way are you going with this one then? What are you thinking?
I think...
Is Zaleski dos Santos too experienced
too polished,
in the UFC?
Too polished and too experienced. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know...
22-7 against 8-0. But this, I mean, this is a characteristic of the UFC taking someone who's been main
eventing. Let's have a try,
Like, Benoit's been main, he was main event in Brave 49, I think it was. Now they're bringing him over and they're going to give him somebody really, really tough. I mean, I know, you know, he's 8-0. Of course, it's, you know, there's high expectations for him. But
you spell Benoit and Benoit the same.
Yeah.
But say, but it's just because one's American, one's from France.
Yeah. I think it's is it France or is it Canada? Is he Canadian?
Oh, is he Benoit? Canadian?
I'm not sure. No, he's French.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming it's Benoit. I watched his fight on mute.
I think
so
it
I don't
was.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds nice.
People love it when you say that.
Benoit Saint Denis, and he got a really cool nickname as well. Was it like the? Hang on.
Mold.
Like the God of War, or yeah, God of War.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's Figueiredo's name, though, isn't it?
Give it back.
Can't have too many of those.
They're going to have to fight.
Should have to fight for your earning. I didn't realise that Kamaru Usman had to get permission to use the Nigerian Nightmare. Like, there was an NFL player that's got the name copyrighted.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
Right. What's he going to do about it?
Yeah, right.
You should ask Kamaru if he can if he can have his name back.
Right.
What the fuck are you going to do about it?
Just gotta if that happens, you've just got to hope the next person using it don't get more famous than you, right? Because then they're going to automatically take ownership of the name.
Well, yeah, but Kamara just beat him up anyway.
That's right.
You know, you can't put pads on if Kamara's coming out. Hold on a minute. Strap a helmet on.
Okay. Are you seeing this one then? You're thinking DeSantos.
Yeah. I think, It's a big call to come in and beat someone that is sharp, powerful and that experienced, isn't it?
It is.
Big call.
It is. I mean, there are a lot of submissions on his record, but I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned here for him against Zaleski dos Santos, and he is a good fighter.
Yeah.
But I think this is definitely a.
Well, we'll see what the level he comes in at.
Definitely a step.
It?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, where are we next?
Duraev and Kopilov.
Oh yeah, okay.
Why, when Kopilov, I don't in my head that he was much better than he was. I must be confusing him with someone else, but he's not really done. He lost his first fight, didn't he?
Yeah, I've just got distracted by Duraev's Tapology picture because you said Macklin's got the best.
Hold on a minute.
You said Macklin's got the best picture, and I don't know.
Have you got a challenger?
I think so. He looks like a car salesman.
Oh, I've seen it. Well, I didn't think car salesman, to be honest.
Did you not?
No, I thought drug lord.
Gangster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, tell me you're a gangster without telling me you're a gangster.
Yeah.
Where is it? I do remember looking at it. Hold on.
That's a great picture. Just standing in front of a Mercedes. Yeah. Dressed all in black. Got his phone and his wallet in his hand.
Yeah, man.
And his registration plate's 007.
Of course it is. It's a Guy Ritchie. That's a character, a Guy Ritchie movie.
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay. So he's coming off a first round win on the Contender Series against
Bittencourt. Yeah, and he blasted Bittencourt, like smothered him.
Neck crank.
And then neck cranked him. Yeah, like
just
another
sounds
one.
Unpleasant.
It's just
it?
Another one, isn't it? He's just incredible top pressure game. He's going to maul him. I don't know how Kopilov is going to stop the waterboarding, to be honest. Can't bring NATO in to stop waterboarding. You know, acts against humanity and all that.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's going to go it's like we were saying before, like you have to work out how to stop it. It's coming. You know, they used to say that about Ricky Hatton's left hook. He used to say that about his own left hook.
Yeah,
it's coming. You've got to do something about it. And then people started doing something about it.
One person in particular counted him on it. Beautiful punch. Yeah, I think if Kopilov's got space, he's got a wicked kick to the body. He's got good hands, good boxing. You can tell how well trained he is. I just don't know if he can keep space in this fight.
I think
Duraev is going to drive over him like a blacked out Mercedes.
Yeah, a 007 plated Mercedes.
Yeah, I mean Carl Robertson's not a world beater, and he stopped him with Rinnick. He choked, didn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be two losses Kopilov in a row. I don't know why I feel like we thought he was going to be good coming in. Like we had some, there was some heat.
Yeah, he was undefeated and he'd been stopping everybody. Like corner stoppages and TKOs.
Yeah.
What was he, 7-0 coming in?
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's what we were thinking.
Yeah.
We spoke about it before. I mean, it must be in the build up to the Robertson fight.
I've never been particularly impressed with Robertson. Mm. Like as a top flight term.
No, he's a club man, isn't he?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Duraev,
for sure.
Okay.
There's a lot of common opponents in this card, like Lerone's fought Tukugov, who's up next.
Yeah.
And Ramos. Ramos as well?
Yeah. Beat Ramos. Yeah. Draw with Tukugov.
Tukugov, yeah. Another one, Ramos. Listen, I'm not sure. I'm nudging the table a lot today, aren't I?
You are nudging the table a lot.
I can see like fucking OCD is going out of control. He's going to rage
nothing
across the table. And
I said nothing
button
at all.
Now I can feel. I can see it. Nah, you can see it. Look how nervous Jamie is. Look at him.
Fucking nervous. Go on then. What's your take?
So Ramos, he's just a strange cat. Like I feel like he's got loads of good components, but he never quite brings them all together at the same time.
No.
You know, like he's got some flashy shit when he should just not do flashy shit and be better at bringing his three components together a bit better.
Yeah. I think sometimes he gets this image in his head of how he wants the fight to end.
Yeah.
And then he kind of chases it. And it's usually something spectacular. Like he wants a Joaquin Buckley kind of knockout or something. He wants something that's going to go viral.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. It's just a kind of, yeah. And I think sometimes he gets a bit distracted and then tries to force his way down a certain path, which
not going to happen.
Is not always going to happen. And I think Tukugov is just in the moment kind of fighter that's happy to be on the front foot all the time.
Yeah.
If you move him back, he'll keep punching you. If you stop and stand still, he's going to start to wrestle.
He's had four split decisions in his last six fights, so he's not. You know, he's not murdering people, is he?
But he's just shutting people down. That's the thing, isn't it? It's like I don't know.
He's got maybe
like Moicano's not an embarrassment to be losing to, and to take into a split decision.
Yeah.
I always feel like there's a bit more in there. Like you look at the Lerone Murphy fight.
He's got to take some risks, isn't he?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He needs to take some risks to get to stop getting decisions and split decisions. He's got to take some risks.
And on the flip side, Hamas has maybe got to take a few less risks. Maybe they'll balance each other out.
Maybe.
Like maybe the risk taking will be where the fight takes place, and Tukugov will be there to receive and catch him mid-air and slam him to the floor.
I feel like Tukugov should probably take it.
Mm.
I sort of want Ramos to be better. Like I quite like him. I quite like a few of the bits he does. He just doesn't. Yeah, he's just not consistent, is he?
Not really.
No.
So which way are you going?
Yeah, Tukugov.
Oh yeah,
I'm probably picking favourites again.
I'm gonna go the opposite way.
I just threw C4 over myself and I'd manage that.
Of course you did. I think I'm going to go the opposite way.
Yeah.
I think Tukugov's going to control the majority of the fight, but I think at some point there's going to be a moment where he's choosing to control over attack, and Hamos is going to be able to flip it on him.
Nice.
Maybe like just snag his neck and strangle him standing or something like that. I think Tukugov's going to control the majority of the fight, but I could see Hamos stealing it at some point by doing something chaotic and it working.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Yeah. Who we got next? Is it Jandaroba?
Yeah, I really like Amanda Ribas.
Mm.
I think she's super talented. She's 27, so she's just sort of coming into her prime, she like put her head above the parapet a little bit and got, it was just a bit of a step too far with Rodriguez, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And she, yeah, she beat her up. But she's good, man. I think, I just feel like she's sort of, who are we talking about? I said it's going to be completely, not quite the same as, who fought Jesse Jess? Just fought Jesse Jess.
Yeah.
Who we've already spoken about. CTE. Jocelyn. Not quite the same as Jocelyn. I feel like she's further on, but yeah, she just need a couple more and I think she's going to be, you know, she's going to be legit.
I think she's proven that she's well skilled in every range. Mm. I think the Dern fight stood out in particular for me because she was able to manage range really well. I just think like Rodriguez is just at that level right now.
Yeah, but she's on. Do you know what I mean? She's on. She's where Hibas might be in a couple of years.
Yeah.
But right now that's where she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Jinder Oh was tough, right? She's just a hard, tough woman who's, you know, I'm not sure.
I think Hibas is too much for her.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, I do.
I'm not sure she's dynamic enough to deal with Amanda necessarily because she's probably going to get beaten to the punch quite a lot. She's just a solid all rounder, isn't she?
Yeah, but I mean with a real heavy emphasis on grappling. Like if you look down a record, it's all arm bars and rear naked chokes, and I do feel like A, she's going to struggle to get Hibas to the floor. And I think, B, she's going to struggle to control her once they're on the floor.
She's very competent on the floor, isn't she, Hibas?
I think her dad's like judo and jiu-jitsu and had MMA fights as well.
Oh, nice.
And he's a bit odd. And she's already flagged for USADA, so you know she's fucking strong.
Has she?
All right. Yeah. Already got that one in the...
Blue tick. Give her a blue tick, just so we know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Hibas is too much for her.
Yeah, makes sense, innit?
Yeah.
Jinder Oh's just one of those athletes where you just like, you cannot envisage her being the champ. She just doesn't have it, you know?
No.
Good, solid, mid-tier. She'll be a gatekeeper maybe.
Yeah, and if you show up unprepared underestimate her.
Yeah, she'll beat you up.
I don't even, like, I'm trying to think of a scenario where I would see Jinder Oh winning and it's she would have to hurt her to make her vulnerable enough to take her down and sub her or knock her down, but I just don't see that happening.
Mm.
Not unless Hibas does something silly. Like I mean, even though she was knocked out twice against Marina Rodriguez, she was dropped and then got back up and started to recover. And
was that another herb?
No comment.
Herbsident.
I've retired from commenting on that shit. I'm just
trying to make sure the soul leaves the body before it calls it. I got Hibas.
Yeah,
for sure.
Me too. Okay, main card time. I've kind of stacked my research top end of this card.
Yeah, you've basically done all of these.
Not quite. I've done four of them.
Four of the six.
Yeah. Ankalaev against Uzdemir.
I think, yeah.
I think Ankalaev will maybe
even be favourite coming into this. I think Uzdemir is going to win this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he's lost. I know he's on a downturn. He's a four from six, isn't he? Four losses from his last six fights.
Yeah.
But look who those losses are. DC, Anthony Smith, Dom Reyes and Prochazka. All right?
Yeah.
Prochazka. Like, there's some people to be, you know, to be fighting with.
I don't know. I just...
Nah?
I don't know. I don't think
he's dropped off?
I don't think he's dropped off at all. I think he's got a good level of skill.
Yeah,
and he brings that level of skill to the octagon every time, and that's what we get. And it either wins or loses depending on his opponent. Like he's had some strong performances. I mean, he took that first fight in the UFC on short notice, didn't he? When he came in against OSP, like that, I think it was literally like a week or two, and he won a split decision.
Yeah,
and then he starched a couple of people. Was it Serkanov and Jimmy?
Yeah,
like both of them under 30 seconds.
Yeah,
but the same thing with both of those fights, though. The range closed down really quickly. And Uzdemir looks like he's got that 6-inch bang and you're dead. Like Shane Carwin used to have back in the day. Remember when he knocked out Gonzaga?
Yeah, yeah. Like from like 6-inch
fist, punch.
From a fist, in, boom, from a fist different distance, yeah.
I just don't think Ankalaev's going to get close enough to him.
No.
Like that's if you remember what Kutalaba was doing with Ankalaev the first time around where he was playing. The reason he was doing that is to try and get Magomed to come at him, because he stays at that range and he plays a long pick and range game. And you know, he's got such good wrestling, he just disengages when he needs to. And
he's given up a bit of height, right? Ozdemir is, what, 6'2"?
I don't think so.
I don't know, maybe it's the other way around.
And Kalaev's
6'3", fairly sizable, isn't he? Same. 6'3", 6'2".
Yeah. And that one loss on his record was, you know, was it 14 minutes and 49 seconds of him winning the fight?
Amazing.
I don't think those kind of things happen twice.
He starched Kutalaba last time, the second time, didn't he?
Of course he did.
Yeah. And to be fair, Krylov, that's a very, very good win, isn't it?
Yeah. He's one of the high level kind of gatekeepers in this division for me, Krylov.
Yeah, get past that, you know you're legit.
Yeah. I had the same thought, like when Jan fought him, I thought, he gets a win over Krylov here, and he made it look easy.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I like Volkan, and I think he's got good skills, but I think those skills are dependent on the fight coming to his range.
And I don't think Magomed's not going to play that game.
Nah.
Yeah, right.
No. Yeah. I mean, you know, like if you think back to the Anthony Smith fight, so Smith broke his nose in the first round and then kind of just chilled for like a round and a half. And that's when Ozdemir got back into the fight and then until Anthony Smith turned it around and took over again. I don't think he comes to Ankalaev. He's the murderer in this division, the guy that you don't want on the other end of the phone for the matchmakers.
Right.
Do you not think?
Maybe.
Yeah, fucking hell. It's a horrible fight for everybody in the division.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
That crew. That crew
they're
are a
changing
nightmare,
the sport,
aren't they?
Changing the sport.
They're a nightmare. They're force evolvers. Yeah. They're going to make everyone change.
They're going to make everyone improve.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So you're going...
Yeah, I'll go with Volkan.
Okay.
You take Ankalaev.
Yeah, I'm Ankalaev. Yeah. And then Leech against Chimaev, the next one. So I've done a war room on this one, and it's like people are like digging this fight over all the other ones. I think the only other one that's higher than this is Makhachev Hooker, right?
Yeah. As soon as we put hands out on any product, it's just like views come from everywhere.
People are fascinated.
Yeah, I know, but it's not been tested
been tested for COVID and failed. Yeah. That's the big conversation.
Yeah.
Like, how did... Because there was a point where he was spitting blood into the sink and talking about retirement.
Yeah, it wasn't good, was it?
That wasn't good.
But then I was thinking, right, he's put himself up for this and his coaches have cleared it and he must have passed the medicals, right? To do it. So
but
he must be back.
It must
be all right.
We don't know, though, do we? It's the residual effects that we don't know of.
He must have shark tanked through camp and come out and been all right.
Maybe.
Do you know what I mean? Like he'd have gone as close as he could get without competing to competition. You know
maybe,
what I mean?
Maybe.
Surely.
No. I'm not saying he won't be prepared. I'm just saying he might not be the same.
Yeah. No. No.
Like, but
he still hasn't really faced that many people.
But then, do you think the Leech can take his shots like these boys could? Like Mershart was sat down in 17 seconds. And I know
there's more going to come back. He's not just going to skirt the edge, just going, oh my god, he's going to hit me. He hit me.
I like the Leech. He's got a head like a breeze block.
Yeah.
I don't think his technical ability is on the level of Hamzat.
No.
I don't.
So aside from Hamzat's wrestling ability, do you like his striking technically? Do you like him striking?
Well, we've not seen much of it. Yeah. I mean, I've had a look at his older fights, of course, and he does, like, he looks like he's got good discipline for the first sort of 15 seconds of each exchange, and then it starts to get a little bit, like, especially if he's hurt somebody, he does tend to chase. But then they were older fights, and he's probably evolved a lot since then. Like, if I look at what I've seen just while he's been in the UFC, you look at his footwork cutting down Mershart against the fence, lining him up against the fence and just pinging him with a clean shot. Like, he, like, corkscrewed him to the outside of the cage so there was nowhere for him to go. Put him in a choke point for one punch knockout. And then you watch what he did to the, you know, the two Brits. They just couldn't... There was no... I mean, what was it? Like six strikes totally got hit with in the fight, and he landed 100 and something.
But look, like, who he's fought, man, compared to who the Leech has fought. It's incomparable, really.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I'm not looking at... Because the thing is, I don't have enough information on Chimaev to gauge how he would have done against the opponents that the Leechers fought. Like you go, oh yeah, I mean, you know, the Leechers fought some real tough opponents, but like Hamzat would most likely have starched Ponzinibbio. He would have probably beaten Magny from what I've seen, although Magny I would say is probably the toughest test out of him. But that was a loss on the Leechers' record because Magny's a really good technician. I just feel like Chimaev's got a bit more, you know, power behind everything that he does with Magny. Like Magny wins because he's a technician. Hamzat wins because he's a powerful technician. And again, you know, like we've not seen much of his stand-up striking, but you look at the way he picks his shots against Phillips and Reece McKee.
Like a level of understanding.
Yeah. He's not just wild, bang, 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 bang. He's looking for the targets, and he's aiming for targets that stop fights as well. Like vicious, cold and vicious. Like I remember interviewing him, and it's just like matter of fact. It's like, yeah, I smash.
Like, smash.
Yeah. I think the Leech is a real fun fight for him, but he's flat on his feet.
Yeah.
He kind of settles his weight between his two legs, so he's not either forward or backward mobile, and he swings back when you go to hit him.
Yeah, right.
I think we're going to see Hamzat impress again, unless he's not healthy compared to how he was.
I just can't imagine that the whole team and everyone would put him forward if he wasn't pretty close to where he knows he... Because you've got a reference point, you know what I mean? The team has an internal reference point. We know where he was at.
Okay.
He's got to get pretty close.
Let me give you a for instance. Maybe the perspective is that he's not going to be ready.
Ever.
And, well, you know, they're throwing a fuckload of cash at him.
Yeah.
He's spat blood in the sink and talked about retirement. Next thing, Dana's on the phone offering him 7 figures.
And he mopped that sink up with $100 bills.
There we go. Here we go.
Yeah, right.
I'm not saying that's the case, but we just don't know because he's been out for a while and he was hinting at being really unwell.
Yeah. Sounding bad is like one of the sort of worst reactions we'd heard about, wasn't it?
Yeah.
From pro athletes.
And Ponzinibbio is a good win for the Leech.
Yeah.
But I think Hamzat's a different opponent entirely.
So you think the Hamzat train's going to carry on?
I think so. I think he's probably going to stop him late first, early second.
Shit, okay.
Yeah. Which is going to surprise a lot of people because people expect the Leech to be
able to... Yeah, I thought the Leech would...
Mm.
Well, at least it'll be his biggest test, right?
Yeah.
Chimaev's biggest test, for sure, by a little way.
Yeah, that seems to be the general consensus. He's like, yeah, but now he's got the Leech who just doesn't fold. But neither does Merschart, you know? Merschart is generally competitive. And
he must have just mind-fucked himself in that fight so bad that he, like, manifested it.
And then when all of a sudden the guy's standing on your front foot and you're in punching range. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Chimaev. I think he's going to stop him. Okay, heavyweights.
Big boys.
Alexander Volkov against Marcin Tybura.
Tybura, he had a bit of a bad run, didn't he? But he's really like turned it around now.
Yeah.
I remember chatting about him ages ago, early on this podcast, and we were like, oh, he should be really, really good. He sort of does everything. He's got great movement. His speed of movement's really good. He's really agile. But he just had a bit of a rough start, didn't he?
He just sometimes looks a little unmotivated.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know whether
2020 he was motivated. What did he go 4-4 in 2020 or 5-5?
He's 5-0 2020. Sorry, 4-0 and then he picked up that win over Walt Harris in 21.
Fair play. Heavyweights fighting four times a year and getting 4 wins.
Right.
Yeah.
Decision against Spivak, Grishin and Rothwell.
Yeah.
Stop Greg Hardy and then stop Walt Harris.
Yeah.
He's got to ground Volkov to win this fight,
definitely
though.
Got to ground him. Volkov, nasty, isn't he?
Yeah.
Strong, long.
Very, very experienced. I mean, both of these guys, the records they're bringing in.
Yeah.
Like, you've got, like, Tabora's 22-6 and Volkov is 33-9.
I think Volkov's the most experienced heavyweight in the rankings.
Is he? What,
33-9, yeah.
Since Overeem
obviously
Glory.
Gone, yeah. Mm. I think that makes him the most experienced on the rankings.
Yeah.
Mate, him and Cyril Gane whacked each other, didn't they?
Yeah.
They just, took it as well.
I think Volkov's a really skilled individual. Mm. I think he's a real problem. The only time he struggles is when someone's really mobile like Gane. And that's the issue with Tabor, is he's not, he doesn't even really bounce on his toes at all. He tends to kind of walk.
Yeah.
You know, great on the ground, but Volkov's also got really good takedown defense.
It's got to be Volkov, right?
I think so.
It's got to be Volkov.
I think so.
I know, like,
but then this is the kind of test that Tabor is ready for at this point. Yeah. I mean, he's won his last five. He's got over that hump in his career where he was, you know, he lost to Lewis and Badum and a couple of the guys.
Sakai.
Yeah. Shamil Abdurahimov.
Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah.
This is definitely a better version of Tybora than, like, you can almost see him, you know, that run where he was losing, then he beat Stefan. Like, you could fit this fight in there and it would have been too soon for him. But now, after, you know, a run of wins and a bit more confidence and obviously the growth that 2020 would have given him, this is a good fight. But, unless he, like, gets Volkov down early.
Yeah.
And drains him of his life force and then beats him up.
I was just looking last time Volkov was subbed and it was 2010. But it was Max Grisham, so there's another common opponent there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think he knows his game at this point. That's why I like Volkov. Like, he knows where his skills are. He knows how to apply them. I was very, very impressed when he fought Stefan Struve because it was probably the first time he'd fought someone that was taller than him.
Yeah,
and he looked like the taller fighter in there. I always go back to that because you don't necessarily have to be the taller fighter to fight the tallest.
Play tall, yeah.
I think he can really keep Tabora on the end of everything. It's Tabora that's got to be proactive in closing distance down and probably putting him up against the fence to take him down.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the one thing with a tall guy, his body lots are going to be easier, aren't they? Easier to level change and reap those legs away from him. I think Volkov.
I got a Volkov, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair play. Fair play, Martin, if you pull this off, but I got Volkov.
For sure.
Pretty much.
Okay. People's
Another
main event.
Big one, yeah. Love him. They love him, don't they?
They do.
They love him. Look, surely the smart money is Makhachev.
Of course it is.
That, you know.
Absolutely it is.
A couple of little counterpoints. Islam hasn't fought anywhere near who Dan Hooker's fought. Dan Hooker's got he's not won them all, but he's been in there with some, you know, best of the best pretty much, isn't he? And that's all logged. It's all in there. He's seen those pictures. He knows what elite functions like.
It doesn't mean he can stop it, though.
No, maybe not. Maybe not.
It doesn't mean he can stop it.
Chandler, Poirier, Edson is not the same as Moises, Dober, Ramos. Do you know what I mean? It's not. That's not the same level.
No.
That Sarukin fight. We'd laughed
it's
about
amazing.
It before. It's just an amazing fight.
I love
it. I reckon it's in my top five fights.
Yeah.
Like, legit, it's in the top five fights.
There's just much to learn from it, isn't
there?
Yeah,
it's unreal.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the time when you get two guys that are at that level, sometimes they sort of nullify each other because they're just damping everything down. Mm-hmm. Not a chance, was it?
Yeah.
It seemed to open everything up. And if there was a counter, they took the counter. Yeah, it was wicked. I love it. I'm all for City Kickboxing. I love what they're doing. I love the way they've gone about stuff and Dan Hooker. But the power of the Maul game, it's our current generation of technique, innit?
Yeah.
And
this is Makhachev's
opportunity. It feels like the tide, innit? It's like, you know, the tide's coming in at some stage.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why Dan Hooker's got fights against Poirier and Chandler. And, you know, people close to the top of the division is because they're more willing to fight him than they were Makhachev.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, like nobody wants to fight Makhachev. Everyone knows how much of a nightmare fight that is.
Yeah.
And Dan Hooker is a good version of a City Kickboxing fighter, but not the elite level that we're seeing, is he?
Not yet, yeah.
I think he could be if he wanted to. I think he chooses not to.
Right.
Like, he chooses, like, when he fought to Felder, like, that was a blood and guts fight. It was going to be blood and guts before the fight even started.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything that was being said was like, this is going to be a war.
Yeah.
This is going to, like, that's what he's coming for. Like, he needs to be really, really smart in this one. He needs to be on his toes. He needs to be defending takedowns in the first round. And he needs to be really carefully picking what shots he uses so he's not overextended. The problem with Makhachev is that he's got good striking as well.
Yeah.
So, like you've got to kind of pick your poison. And, of course, the poison you want to pick if you're Dan Hooker is, I would much rather kickbox with him.
Yeah.
But you can't be guaranteed that that's what you're going to get. Like, I mean...
Dan's very agile. he's got good movement strategies and movement techniques, but he's going to get closed down at some stage. And, you know, he'll look for those knees up the middle and stuff, but yeah. Is that it's high risk, high reward? Well, but you're on your back. You don't quite nail that, or you're on your back again. Mm. You're getting mauled again. You're getting drowned again.
Like I think the smart thing to do, which unfortunately didn't work out very well against Chandler, is I think the best thing for him to do is to be up against the fence. Mm. And I think if he stays up against the fence, I know, of course, he's got to watch being trapped and you know, walked onto a left hook, but at least he's got that to be driven into. Like, if he's forced to wrestle out in the open, if he's holding the center and Makachev's shooting off the fence and gets taken down out in the center, he's not getting up.
No.
He's not getting up. No. But if he's up against the fence, then he's got some time. And I think maybe not throwing the knees as Makachev's coming in, and maybe being prepared to defend the takedown, then go into those Travis Brown elbows.
Yeah.
Like that.
We were saying the other day that they're so dangerous.
Yeah.
Those downward elbows. They're not, I mean, obviously they're prominent, but not that prominent, are they? Like position, in a position where pretty much once a fight, someone gets in that position.
Yeah. Like, funny, I've been watching some of Wei Li's older fights in Kunlun for the War Room that I'm doing on that show, War Room I'm doing on that fight. And she uses a lot of varied directional elbows and has loads of success with them.
No, it switches people off, doesn't it? You can see them, you can see the tension in them trying to go for the takedown, and then one will hit and then just everything just goes out of the tension, goes out of the body.
Even Usman landed a good elbow against Woodley, which was one of those kind of inside smash elbows. It was from a tie clinch, landed a few knees, and then as he was breaking, he just came across his face with it. But I think that's the smart thing for Hooker to do damage, to try and cut him.
Yeah, open him up.
Yeah.
Open him up, yeah.
It's, this is the other thing as well, this is three rounds. So Makachev can just go. We know what he can do over three rounds the Sarukian fight. Yeah. I think Makachev's going to be too much for him.
I like Dan Hooker. I like the fact that he's prepared to fight Makachev, and a lot of people don't want to. He's game as fuck, and he's just like, yeah, go on then, let's do it. Bruh, let's do it.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he wins 2/3 of his fights, Dan Hooker. He takes big fights and big risks, and he fights risky. And I don't
think Makachev... He likes the fact that it's Makachev, and he's the only one that's prepared to do it. Do you know what I mean? He's like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. He likes that. He likes the fact that he's not going home to see his family. He likes the fact that he's the one that's sacrificing, you know what I mean? Like waving to his daughter through a hotel window, because this is him fucking giving everything he's got.
Yeah.
I love that.
Warrior
I love
sacrifice.
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 I just don't think technically he's going to have enough to...
It's funny, like a long time ago we were talking about... So as sort of performance coaches and stuff, you want to set up the best possible environment where everyone's got everything, meals done, recovery's done, training's done, videos, everything's done. But what about the gritty bit of warrior sacrifice? How do you still get that? Like if you're the slums of Shaolin coming up, do you know what I mean? And you have to you've got nothing.
Yeah.
What does that give you?
Yeah.
Compared to you being given everything, what does that give you?
Mm.
It's a funny balance, isn't it?
It is. It is. There's definitely something for, like, you know, we have the squad session on a Sunday morning, and nobody wants to be there at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, of course. But that's kind of part of it, that we're here anyway.
Six on a Saturday. What was it? Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
6:30. No one wants to do that.
No.
Miserable.
No. It was awful.
Yeah.
But there is something.
It was awful standing there with a whistle going, shh, go, shh, stop. Terrible. Who wants to do that?
You just like to look tough in front of the all the rugby players.
Yeah, it's not hard.
They'd show up at 7:30 and you're yelling at these exhausted cage fighters, and they all thought you were the fucking man.
Fuck off, I did my bit.
Okay.
Makachev's going to win that, almost certainly.
Almost certainly. Okay.
I do not know. Well, I haven't watched your War Room.
Thanks.
No, you know why. But I don't know how you're supposed to pick between these two. I just don't, like, how are you supposed to pick? They're both, I really like both. I particularly like Peter Yan because he's funny and he's a fucking serial killer with ice in his veins and he does not give a fuck.
He looks in fucking shape as well.
Have you seen him? I see photos of him by the pool. Yeah.
Fuck.
That was not a mistake, was it?
He's been training with Fedor. He's got to look good tan as well. Did you see Fedor at the weekend? Yeah. Motherfucker, that was so good.
Three piece.
Lovely.
Done.
Yeah. Yeah, Peter
it's funny, someone then tweeted or whatever, it was like, two of the most dangerous people in the world are like 25% body fat and just like chilling dad bods.
Fedor and Tyson Fury.
Yeah, Tyson Fury, yeah.
Yeah. I like both of these guys the same, but they're so different in the way they go about their work. Like, basically, the summary of the war room is that Peter Yan tests without throwing, and Corey throws to test.
Yeah. I thought too, excuse me if I'm wrong, but I thought too, Peter is deep on a few techniques, like he's masterful in a few techniques, whereas Corey's much more varied, but not quite as deep in those, you know, deep understanding of those techniques. He'll throw a few things here and there, and that's another contrast, you know. You're not going to get wild shit from Yan.
Yeah.
You're going to get some wild shit from Corey, but God damn it, Yan is going to, he's so good at what he does, isn't he?
He is.
And that, you know, that, you know, we, a million times we've talked about how he is suffocating you without even touching you.
That's
just
it.
By his presence and being in your face and on your foot and horrific.
Because you're like, what, like, why is he not doing anything? He's going to do something in a minute.
He's right there.
Why is he not doing it?
Like, he's right there.
But that's my concern for him is that a part of his game is being in range and letting them work so he can see where the gaps are or to see when he pressures and which direction they go. Like with the Jimmy Rivera fight, he was forcing him off at angles and was walking him onto shots.
Yeah.
I think he can try and do that with Corey, but I think it's far more risky because the moment where he commits to work for that counter shot, Corey just jumps straight up the center with a flying knee or he like covers and rolls and pivots off. And I mean, the more I watched Corey, the more impressed I was with him and the more I felt like he's got a chance. Like generally the feeling that I've had when I've been speaking to people about this is, oh yeah, Peter Yan's going to walk him down and beat him up.
No, but it's not as cut and dry as that.
And the other thing with Sanhagen as well, like you think back to that fight he had against Alcantara, like he was in a really bad spot in that first round. He was caught in like an armbar triangle.
Yeah.
He got his face busted up and he just toughs it out.
Yeah.
Like he's not easy to break. He's not easy to crack.
I love it. And this is the title fight.
Yeah.
This is the title fight.
I agree.
That other title can evaporate for me.
What are your thoughts on Sanhagen losing to Dillashaw, though? Because that's something that people have been bringing up. Like, Sanhagen shouldn't be fighting for the interim belt because he's just lost to Dillashaw.
Yeah, I don't care. It's just timing. It's just timing, really. Yeah.
He did make a fucking mess of Dillashaw as well.
I love this fight.
Yeah.
And I'll be happy with either one with the belt, really. I'm just edging a little bit toward the Yan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's hard to pick. You didn't pick on the war. You don't really pick on the war room, do you?
No, I don't. Because the thing is with the war room is like, and I know people always say this in the comments, it's like, well, you should give a prediction. I'm like,
mate, shut the fuck up, account. Yeah. Well, don't worry. We'll respond to that with the new account.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, if people want my picks, they can come and listen to this. But I generally could give you three different for instances. I'm as equally invested in all of them.
At this level,
yeah.
Like, good luck really picking. Because you don't, you know, sometimes I feel like lower down the cards, we can actually make some pretty relatively informed picks. Mm. But when it gets to this level, it's like,
There's too much in the balance. Like, especially with these two. Like, Peter Yan could close him down. He could club him with a shot as he's peeling off along the fence, catch him and drop him, and then be on that front headlock and beating him up on the ground. Like, Peter Yan's got really, really nice clinch work when he locks up as well.
I'm trips on Aljo.
Right?
Wicked.
Mate, you want to see some of the stuff he did against Magomedov in ACB.
Yeah.
Almost what he did to Uriah Faber, where he kind of kicked him and then brought his head around for the high kick.
Yeah.
But like he uses that trip to throw people by him, to like bring them onto knees and stuff.
Trips are such appealing techniques. I don't know why it is, but it's just like,
it's
just cool when
you do
it.
It's like that he did to Aljo, where he just fucking palmed him in the chest to the floor.
Yeah. It's like disrespectful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's what DC said in the commentary as well. I agree. But I don't think he gets any of that kind of stuff on Sanhagen. And if he does, as soon as he starts to turn the fight on Sanhagen, Sanhagen's going to throw something back at him.
Yeah. Do you think Corey's ever fought anyone that will put that, will stand on his front foot like Yan will? And do you think he's dealt with that kind of like, it's not fake pressure, but that invisible pressure?
Yeah. I think he's fought a few people that have tried to do that to him. I mean, Frankie Edgar would have done that to him if the fight had lasted. But that's where that flying knee comes into play. And it's not like that was the only time he did it. I mean, you know, you can watch the go and get NordVPN and check out my breakdown show.
Yeah.
Because this is the fight that I covered, and I show a whole selection of flying knees. Like, he was nailing John Lineker with flying knees as he was moving in. That's a good example of someone that might fight like this. Mm. He's not nearly as nuanced as Peter Yan with his footwork, and everything he throws is power. But the moments where Corey was backed up against the fence and there was the threat of the flying knee, or he was going to slip and roll and kind of get out to the side, like, Lineker was just following him, just marching after him. I don't think he's going to have that same situation with Peter Yan, but he does kind of march a little bit.
Mm.
Like, he walks until he comes into range, then he goes back into his stance. And then he uses his stance switching to like switch his options for striking and cut them off. But Corey just doesn't seem to even have an awareness of which foot's in front.
Yeah, it's so fluid now, yeah.
Like, this, on UFC stats, they either say southpaw, orthodox, or switch.
Yeah.
Is like when it comes to stance, but there needs to be another breakdown with switch.
Whatever.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's fluid, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, there is no stance.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Corey's really, really dangerous, and I think he gets much better between each fight. I think he improves really quickly.
I've seen a couple of VTs with him. Like, he's about this life, isn't he? Like, he is about being a martial artist.
Yep.
This is his life.
Yeah, and I also think he would have learned a lot from the Dillashaw fight.
Mm.
And Dillashaw fight was going to be difficult because they trained together, they were familiar with each other's style. You know, there's a lot of influences in Corey Sandhagen's game that he got from Dom Cruz and Dillashaw as well. Mm. So, but I think his footwork is leveling up the division, to be honest. I think Sandhagen's...
Shit, you sound like you're...
I've just been really impressed with him. The more I've watched him, the more I've been impressed. Like, Peter
Yan that way.
Well, I know how dangerous Peter Yan is. I know that most people will be expecting him to be able to put a stamp on this fight. But I think that, like you said, like, he pressures without doing much.
Mm.
And Corey's always working. Like, he's always throwing, he's always peppering. So, like, something's
going to... backfire a little bit on anything.
I think he might just be available to get hit.
Mm.
I mean, that flying knee that comes up the center, Yan's not going to move away from them. He's going to tuck up. He's going to pull his elbow in. That left hook to the body that he dropped Austin Arnett with. I could go on. Yeah.
Anyway, go watch the War Room. And if you can't get there because it's geo-blocked, then
The
Breakdown Show.
In fact, the War Room has got a load of footage in as well, hasn't it? Because I got loads of the ACB stuff clips and, you know. It's always interesting to see what people
are
doing.
Yeah, if you do want to watch the Breakdown Show... then go to nordvpn.com/outlawed. Said it again.
73% off.
73% off. That does seem like a very specific number. But, you know,
it does. I thought it was 70s. Anyway.
73. Main event. So are you picking? You sound like you're going Corey. I think,
you're leaning towards Yan.
Yan, but I think it's because I find him funny and he gives Aljo loads of shit on Twitter. And I think it's just like blurring my read on it. And I just love it. every time he mentions Aljo, I just think it's funny.
Here's a question for you. Do you think if Peter Yan knees Corey Sandhagen in exactly the same scenario as he kneed Aljo, that Corey Sandhagen doesn't continue?
I don't think so. No. I think he gets the fuck back up and...
motherfucker kneeing me illegally.
Yeah.
He does it, though. Peter Yan knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's a clip in the...
But he's Peter Yan's fighting, that's why.
Yeah,
he's
for sure.
Fighting. Mate, like, he doesn't give a... Really...
He don't give a fuck.
He's annoyed that these rules are in place.
Absolutely. Like, if he can bite you in headbutt
you and in fact,
he's
annoyed that he's not allowed weapons. Because he's like, I'm just going to slice this motherfucker up.
Mate, a turtleneck and a silencer.
100%. A barcode on the back of his neck.
Straight away.
Peter Yan's here to fight.
Yeah. Mate, there's a clip in that... it's like Douglas Silva, DeAndrage, and he'd got him, he's in side control, and he's got him a good control him in side control. And he's so fucking sly. He brings his knee up to make it look like he's going to kneel on his bicep for a crucifix.
Yeah.
But as he does it, he slams it right into his chin. Like, clearly illegal knee. Like, he just skirts the rules.
That's because he's got a master of combat. He's a master of combat, isn't he?
Yeah. And you know that master of sport in boxing? Requires you to have 150-odd amateur fights.
Yeah.
And the only reason he didn't continue on to the Olympics is because he got into an altercation the night before a fight and broke both of his hands.
Sounds like someone we know.
And when he told that story, he was laughing about it. It was he's a maniac.
He's not like anywhere close to well, I suppose he's a martial artist, but that athlete thing he's not interested in.
Have you seen that? Have you seen that photograph? That it's like a Christmas photograph.
I've seen it. Yeah, it's a serial killer. I love it.
He's like tree in the background, and his wife and his kid, and they're all like,
"Look how happy we are."
Yeah, and he's like. Dead.
Love it.
He's a murderer.
We should find that. We should put that on because that is a fucking funny photo.
Isn't it? I fucking hell.
Tough, innit? Tough to pick.
If I had to pick, I feel like Corey Sandhagen might catch him with something.
Yeah.
I feel like he might catch
Jan
him with
something.
If Jan
wasn't so funny, I might pick Corey, but he is very funny.
I love both of them, but I'm just...
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
All right, you go Corey, I'll go Jan.
Okay.
See what happens.
Okay.
Main event.
Yeah.
We can talk about the Glover Teixeira while we're talking about the Glover Teixeira. It's like if you lobotomize Glover, right, he could still blast a double, get to side control, probably get to crucifix and get a TKO.
For sure.
Like with fully lobotomized, it'd be sweet.
You could take 85% of his consciousness, and with that 15% consciousness left, he's going to find Mount and
TKO,
beat you up.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing to watch. Like, The thing is, Jan is very good everywhere. He's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. He's got strong takedown defense. He's good on the ground. He does get excited sometimes, though. Mm. And that's my concern in this one, is if he catches Glover with a shot, bang, and he goes down like Rockhold did or like Dom Reyes did, he's going to charge in to get the finish, and that's where Glover...
I fucking wrote this down. Basically, what you just said, I wrote this down. 100%, I'm going to fucking screenshot this and put this out.
Oh, yeah. Screenshot it now and tweet it now.
No.
but as you were saying in the previous one, sometimes you can make a really easy call on these. And like I did a war room for the Santos Teixeira fight, and I pretty much said that.
Yeah,
because it happens in all of his fights. It's very consistent.
Maybe that's why I probably just watched that, and it's just like imprinted itself. That's why.
Like he gets hit, he gets caught, he gets hurt. He usually goes down, and then 90 seconds later, he's turning it back around, autopilot,
unreal,
Glover Teixeira. Yeah.
I think Jan's better than him.
Mm.
I think Jan's better than him, but I could definitely see Glover winning it.
Yeah.
And maybe from adversity, do you know what I mean? Like, he's going wrong and he turns it because he's just, it's just who he is, really, isn't it? You know what? I thought he was much older than Jan, but there's not that much difference, is there? Like
I thought he was 43, but he's 42, and Jan's 37.
No, I think it's less than that. I swear it was less than
41 and 37 I'm going for. Go on, prove me wrong.
37, let's all look.
Prove me wrong.
What Jan is... Oh, your internet just decided to be...
Oh, of course
38.
It did.
Jan's 38.
Okay.
I think Glover's 42.
He's 41.
41?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? That's not what you said, is it?
That's said 41.
Did it?
Mm-hmm. Only because I said he was 43.
You
on
say
the 38,
41.
I said he was 43.
You pre-researched it.
Of course, that's what your notes are for, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you write it in. it's not that much difference, really.
No, not really.
Especially as you look at them, you're like, okay, no.
Yeah, their records aren't that much different either. 28-8, 32-7, both 6'2". Jan's got a 2-inch reach advantage, but you know, he doesn't necessarily use it.
Let me run this past you, is I can see Jan stopping Glover, but I can't see Glover stopping Jan. I can see Glover winning the decision.
Mm.
I can't see him dropping him. I can't see him head kicking him. I can't really see him stopping him. Like Jan's just, he's pretty complete, isn't he? Like he's very well-rounded, but I feel like Jan's got more power. And if he catches him clean, I can see him dropping him. I'm not sure I see even subbing each other, really, do you? Like,
I think if Glover wins, it will be a sub.
Yeah.
And I think it would be because he's been on top of Jan beating him up from that position.
Right.
Like, I think a TKO would be on the cards for Glover, but I also think that he would have to come through some adversity to get there. Like, the thing is with Jan, he's a really difficult champion for the majority of the division.
Mm.
But there are a few guys in the division that I just think to myself, like, Rakic might be a problem for him because of the way he reaches with his legs. And the thing that always makes me nervous about Jan is...
Yeah,
he does that a lot of the time.
And not in this fight, though, necessarily, right?
No, well, that's the thing. I don't think Glover can cause him any issues. John Jones would probably be able to. I thought Izzy might be able to catch that read and catch him with a high kick around the side. But I don't think Glover's got those kind of tools. I think, if anything, Jan's going to beat him up, catch him, knock him down. But then he's got to keep his composure. If he drops him, don't follow him to the floor.
Yeah.
Get him to come back up, because he's not going to have his head clear, and you can knock him down a couple more times and get the referee to wave it off without your knees even touching the canvas. That's the way to do it. And Jan's got great body kicks as well. And I don't think he should neglect them, because I don't think Glover's got really, really strong enough wrestling to be able to get Jan to the floor without him working really hard for it. I mean, Jan's got 65% takedown defense, but Glover's takedown accuracy is 40. You know, a lot of the time it's because people follow him to the floor. You know, the same thing happened with Santos, you know, knocked him down, ran to the floor to beat him up, and then he was reversed and taken down against the fence.
Yeah.
The only thing that Jan's got to be careful of is that, in my opinion. I think there's a lot of different ways he can catch Glover and hit him and hurt him. He's just got to make sure he doesn't run into a grappling match. And I think for Glover, fucking hell.
It's tough, isn't it?
As soon as you get caught hard in the first round, then you should be encouraged that the fight's going your way.
Yeah, right. Quickly get rocked. Let Autopilot take over.
Yeah. I'm picking Jan. I think Jan's going to stop him.
Yeah, I think so.
But I'm not underestimating Glover. I'm not counting him out in any way, because you just can't when you've seen of Glover.
He's a bit of a legend as well, and he's been around for a long time. And who did he do that? Amy did an interview with him.
Alex Pereira. Yeah.
And like, he just came across so well in it. He was just like loving life, loving doing what he's doing. And I was a bit of a fan after that.
Yeah, I'm a big Glover Teixeira fan. I'm a big fan of both of these guys.
Not sure he's quite got enough. I think Jan's prime right now, really, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not sure he got enough credit for the Izzy fight. Like, I know he's a bigger dude, but...
Not at all.
That's a tough ask.
It is. I think his last five fights in particular have looked fantastic. And I think the Thiago Santos fight, when... Like, the reason why that was odd is because he was the one that lost patience. Like, and you watch it for like the first 10 minutes and you think at any point Santos is going to go charging at him, and that's where Jan's going to catch him with a body kick or a counter hook.
And he didn't.
And then when it came to the third round, it was like Jan was like, okay, can I go now? And he just ran onto a counter punch. It was like the fight was upside down. It should have happened the other way around, really. Like, it should have been Santos running onto that punch of Jan, but yeah.
Yeah. Great card.
Really, really good card.
Are we going to ride along?
I think we are going to ride along.
Because it's a reasonable time of the day. And there's not going to ruin our, completely destroy our weekend.
Yeah.
Because they're in Abu Dhabi.
They're in Abu Dhabi. They're in Fight Island.
Right. Let's ride along.
Let's. From the comfort of our...
So what, like 3 in the afternoon UK time?
Well, the prelims are going to start at 3, but I don't want to be sitting under the lights for that long. I reckon we should just do the main card,
because it's like 5
fucking stacked. It's 7 p.m. the main card UK time. Sweet. So we'll do the main card.
Nice.
That'd be good.
All good. Check out the sponsors, if you will. NordVPN.com/ can't say it. /outlawed for 73% off a 2-year plan. And 4 months free of charge. And as always, c4energy.com for our US viewers. 30% off your order with the code FULLREPTILE.
Wicked.
Nice, bro.
Catch you later.
See you at the ride along.
Wicked.